We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. This week's episode of the Corner is brought to you by Casper Mattresses. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. You know, me and Andreas are always covering events, we're always writing articles, but when we do have time to sleep, we lay our head down on a nice, pillowy, soft, premium mattress from Casper Mattresses. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and going straight to you. No showrooms, no middleman. Everyone's seen those creepy guys trying to follow you around the department store. None of that anymore. You get your hands on a nice premium mattress by going straight to Casper Mattresses.
Yeah, man. I mean, I got to get my rest. So Casper Mattresses is the goods. I'm telling you right now. So listen, you can get $50 off of any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/the corner and entering the promo code the corner. That's one word, the corner. That's Casper.com/the corner, promo code THECORNER. Terms and conditions apply.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Back, it's Valentine's Day week. The love is in the air. And to share this love, AJ Springer is joining the show. Another member of the Reverse Rat Pack. The crew is deep right now in the streets. AJ, say what up.
What's going on, everybody?
And we have a non-cranky Andreas Hale this week. He may be an old man. Congrats on the birthday, by the way. But right now, he just came back from a lovely facial that he wants to tell everyone about. That's real grown man game right there, getting a facial.
Yeah, man. I mean, shit. I'm getting old. So, you know, the wife took care of me. I got a manicure and a pedicure. And then I went and got a facial. And when I got a facial, they gave me a glass of whiskey before I got started. So I just got back from that. So I'm dumb relaxed. So I'm not as agitated as I usually am. But I'm sure by the end of the show, you'll do something to piss me off.
Wait, did you say they gave you a glass of whiskey? Not a glass of wine, but whiskey?
No, whiskey, bro. Like, straight whiskey. That, like, up, not even on the rocks, before we got started. So I went to sleep.
I have a question. Going into a facial with a bald head, do they, like, massage your head as well? Like, what does this entail?
Yes, man. Like, I mean, come on, man. You get the works. I mean, you gotta massage the dome piece. Like, and I'm telling you. I'm telling you, look, you just got up on brunch recently. You wisened up to the wise ways of the elder statesmen of this world. So go get yourself a facial with a massage. I don't know. Have you done the manicure or pedicure yet?
I've done the pedicure. The manicure is not nothing new. Like, the manicure is cool. I did the pedicure. That was luxurious. At my feet in the soaking tub, they hit me with the little pumice stone or whatever that is.
Yeah.
So the pedicure was on Deckington. That was delightful. So I'll take your word for it. I need to get the facial going. We'll see what's good.
Yes,
you
man.
You can't be a massage scout.
You gotta be an adult, man. This is adult. This is grown man work right here. So yes. So yeah, my birthday was fantastic. I saw Black Panther. I'm feeling extra black and relaxed. So we can do this.
I like it. We're breaking down the stereotypes of the angry black man one facial at a time. I like how we're doing that on this podcast. AJ, it is Valentine's Day. We see Dre is here, chilling, relaxed. He got his little surprise. What are you doing for Valentine's Day?
Eating pizza and drinking wine. Man, we're going to see Black Panther tomorrow, so it's going to be a relaxed day today.
That drinking wine with pizza. This is the grown and sexy episode of the Corner Podcast. Wine on deck, liquor straight, no rocks. I feel out of place.
Yeah, man. All you got to do is put on D'Angelo's Voodoo album and we in there.
Oh, this is taking it back right now. Going into the week, I'm not doing anything for Valentine's Day. My girl doesn't like the holiday. So it's cool. I got her a present like last week, spur of the moment. I usually go with just buy her a couple pair of shoes. That's my wave. Now, the shoe closet for her is a little bit too extensive, but she'll figure that out. That's not my problem. So I'll just keep buying the shoes. She figured out what to do with them. So nothing planned for today. But that doesn't mean we haven't celebrated Valentine's Day in the past. What is the dopest thing? Like, if you had to give the listeners, like, yo, let me put you on game. This is how you get your lady, you know, right, and you make her happy on Valentine's Day. What's the dopest thing you've done for a girl on Valentine's Day? We'll leave Dre after this because he's going to try to hit us with some old school player Mac shit. Like, you don't do nothing for girls on.
You know what, man? I was thinking about this when you hit me earlier. Like, I can't remember. I think, like, the dopest thing that I've done, like, you'd have to ask people that I've done things for. I remember the dopest thing that was done for me. But
what was that then?
So back, like, way back in college, like, 2004, I was dating somebody out in L.A., so I flew out there, hopped in the car, got blindfolded, woke up, we were at, like, a hotel, went to Disneyland for, like, the day for Valentine's Day, which was mad crowded, by the way. Disneyland on Valentine's Day is mad crowded.
Did she fly you out?
I flew out there.
Okay, I was about to say, now she's just breaking bread. I was about to say, you and somehow Marcus find these women who love Disney World and love breaking bread. Marcus Vandenberg, next time he's back on a podcast, we shall ask him about his Mrs. Robinson, who just spent mad bread on him back in the day, and he has now ended up the namesake in a book of hers. So let's just leave it at that.
These were like the Dutch days, man, where you probably saving for a couple months to take these trips and everything.
Oh, those are the struggle days. You got to appreciate that, the college days. Dre, don't pull no Mac shit. I know you light skin. You used to have curls. I know you used to do something. What was the dopest Valentine's Day thing you've done?
Yo, I honestly don't know. I'm just going to be completely honest. I have no idea. I'm sure I've done something. I'm pretty clever with these things, but yo, I have no idea. And that's not even a cop out. Like, me and my wife have been together for mad years. And at this point, like, we were talking to each other the other day. For my birthday, went out with my daughter to have dinner. And we sat there for a minute. And I'm like, yo, what's left? Like, what else can we possibly do? So we try to find new and creative ways. So I really have no idea. And then other bras, I didn't do shit. So there's that.
were they doing stuff for you because your birthday was right around the time?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother show in its entirety. we'll leave that alone because that just pissed my wife off. So yeah, man, I don't know. Just know it was some dope shit. That's all. It was something. I probably traveled. Maybe I took it in Napa. I don't know. I did something dope.
I feel like you've reached that point in being old where it's the blessed part of being washed, where what's left is, like, you guys are going to start taking, like, trips to Africa and shit. And just, I'd be like, yo, Dre, where you at? Be like, yo, no podcast this week. I'm just chilling in front of the Sphinx and shit, like, just hanging out.
I mean, not to stunt on you, but that's the plan.
See, I knew it. You're in that point of life.
I'm an adult, man, and I mean, you know, I'm in my 30s, and, you know, I'm at the point where I'm closing in on the 40s soon, so it's like, I mean, I never thought I'd be this old to begin with. Like, when you're, like, 17, and you look at your pops and shit, and you be like, man, you're gonna die soon. And now I'm at that age, and I'm like, well, I'm not gonna die, I'm just gonna enjoy this shit. So, yeah, like, Africa's definitely on deck. I'm going somewhere out of the country before the summer's over, so that's just kind of how I roll.
Yo, this guy, you're on that Jay-Z 2002 shit where he just ditched the jerseys for the button-ups. Trying to take that next level step. let's see. Me, I've done dumb shit on Valentine's Day. So I can't even, I was thinking about it. I was like, yo, I haven't even done anything dope. I've done dumb shit that I've always regretted. So, I bought my ex-wife a puppy 1 year for Valentine's Day. We had to give it away like 8 months later because she could not handle taking care of a puppy. And I was done with that shit. I'm not a pet person. So she begged me for so long. I bought her a puppy. She was so cute with that shit for like a week. And then she never paid attention to that puppy again. So that puppy was gone by the next Valentine's Day. Let's see. I proposed on Valentine's Day, which is the cheesiest shit you can ever do.
And you can't get the ring. It goes south.
No, I didn't get that ring back. But once again, I was broke. I got that ring on mad. I forgot where I got it. It was the dopest clearance, though. It was a good ring, but it was dropped like 80%. And I used my my Pell Grant to cop it. So that's why I proposed on Valentine's Day, because the Pell Grant came back after the second semester. I copped the ring when that money hit. And spent the Pell Grant money, not all of it, because I was getting way too much money back. But I spent a good amount of that Pell Grant money on the ring, copped that, proposed, had like the pizza man come to the door. I ran downstairs, met the pizza box, put the ring in the pizza box, ran back upstairs, had her open the door for the pizza man. I was like, yo, did they order the pizza right? And then she looked, bow. Yeah, and that shit was just corny because it was on Valentine's Day. I was young and corny back in the day.
Real life rom-com.
Yo, I was trying. People of the podcast know that has all gone south. If you guys didn't hear the episode where I talked about how I now feel about my ex-wife, then y'all got to go through the archives. But that shit was funny. So yeah, now Valentine's Day has not been the greatest to me. I'm glad I no longer have to celebrate that. Before we move on to people doing dumb shit, like I just explained, I do from time to time. Did y'all ever get curved on Valentine's Day?
Never.
What? Look at smooth ass Dre.
No, I'm just saying it was my birthday. You can't curve me on my birthday. No.
Never.
No, I've never been curved on Valentine's Day. So not my entire life.
Never.
No.
Never.
I'm assuming that you have, which is why this question is here to begin with.
Yeah, most people, like, who goes, you know, 20 for 20 from the field? Somebody shoots and misses sometimes.
Man, I'm like Steph Curry from the free throw line. Like, I don't miss. Like, those, like, Valentine, I never got curved. No. And the other thing is like, I'm very calculated. I don't take too many risks. I never did. Like, even in my younger days, like, I just never really take risks. It needs to be pretty much a shoe-in. So I don't play myself on Valentine's Day. I never played myself for, like, school dances. I never played myself for none of that shit. I knew what was coming. So, like, I was there to win. I don't take too many risks, man.
It's like Dre said, it's the strategic shots, man. You can't be chucking them up from half court. Like, for me, man, if I was dealing with somebody close to Valentine's Day, it was a fucking occasion. Like, it was going all out, doing some dope shit. Like, she mentioned casually in conversation, I want to go here, I want to get this for myself. You go pick that stuff up, and then you're the hero.
Y'all are just upsetting me right now. Which didn't happen too often in high school, don't get it wrong. You know, I was doing my thing in high school, but there was this one girl, Rolana. I'm not going to say her last name. So, Rolana.
God damn, you had to put her on blast.
No, it is what it is. So, Rolana, I'll spell that shit. R-E-E-L-A-N-A. So, Rolana, and I thought she was dope. She was Hawaiian. She kind of looked like the Lilo and Stitch chick. Just imagine that, but in high school. So, she was Hawaiian and dope, and she was in like the little belly dance skirt group at our high school, and I had the mean crush on her freshman year. Sophomore year comes around, I'm like, all right, dope. She finally started opening up. I went to her mom's crib like 2 weeks before. The summer between my freshman and sophomore year, I learned how to use chopsticks just because I knew I was going to meet her parents one time, and I needed to be prepared. So to this day, I know how to use chopsticks because of her. I digress. So I'm like, cool. I come to school. I'm not even paying attention. We ain't do too much shit besides drink and party back then, so I wasn't too in tune with her life outside of school. I came to school one day. I'm waiting at the bus stop, about to catch a bus all the way down Eastern for my people in Vegas. I was at Flamingo and Eastern, Ranches on Eastern and Owens. I got like a 15-20 minute bus ride on the cat straight down there, and there's the little pop-up flower shops here in Vegas on the side of the streets. So it was like 2 dozen roses for like $30. I was like, yo.
Did you get the bear?
I got the bear, too. I got the little bear, the roses. I copped everything. I'm on the bus, like, arms full of shit. So I'm on the bus, and we got, like, early bird and all that because we're in the magnet. So I get there. It's, like, 6 o'clock. All my friends are seeing me walk through the quad. I got all my stuff. I'm like, yeah. And I ain't tell no one who it was for. So I was like, okay, I'm going to walk up to her and give it to her. So I walk up in the quad in front of everybody. I give her all the stuff. She's like, okay, thank you. The bell rings. We got to go to class. Midway through fourth period, I see her walking. She ain't got none of the stuff. I'm like, yo, what happened? I'm like, okay, she left in a clash. It's a lot of stuff to carry around. Someone's like, oh, you got that for Alana? I was like, yeah. They're like, oh, what her boyfriend think about it?
Oh.
I was like, excuse me? So they're like, yeah, like, you know, her boyfriend, I'll say it, Colin, he was like in ROTC class and all this shit. So I remember after school, he's carrying everything to the magnet buses. And I pull her to the side. I'm like, yo, I didn't even know you were going out with him. What'd he say about that? She was like, oh, I told him it was from my cousin.
Oh.
And, you know, you just gave me every. I was like, oh, cool. Cool beans. And after that, I just let them do their thing. I went about my thing. And to this day, I have not gotten a rando-ass girl any present, let alone on Valentine's Day. Just because that happened to me. With the ultimate. And I never got that $30 back. That was the worst $30 I ever spent. Her boyfriend and everything. We did an episode about people I still owe the fade. Her boyfriend is on that episode. Colin from ROTC. Just off of that moment. Like, I just felt like, ROTC ass nerd.
That's what you get.
Yeah, she's wax sauce for that one. Still, Milana, if you out there, I hope you never got flowers again, chump. Anyway. So, that's my Valentine's Day angst. I'm sure she has a beautiful family and stuff. You know, listen, do your thing, Ma. Just don't come this way. I hope you never get flowers. Let's talk about someone else who's been playing themselves. Adrian Broner. Adrian Broner, Instagram. He's been going through the blues. He said, fuck my baby mama, my moms, everybody. And then turns out he went and got arrested. Dre, what's good with your boy?
I mean, what's good with him? I mean, the guy, come on, man. Like, we're still talking about Adrian Broner's 2018. The guy can barely beat a decent fighter these days. And this guy keeps himself relevant. So, man, look, he was trouble when I met him. Like, when I shot that documentary with him back in, like, 2013, and I was told by somebody in his camp that, you know, if you can keep him on the straight and narrow, he'll be all right. But that's always been his problem. It was obvious back then, and, I mean, we see it now. I mean, he says he voted for Trump, son. Like, yo, he really wanted to be Floyd Mayweather. Like, he really, like, when I first talked to him, he was like, I'm going to beat Floyd Mayweather. He said, mark my words, me and Floyd are going to get in the ring, I'm going to beat his ass. But he wanted to be Floyd Mayweather. So he felt like he could do everything but not drink, not smoke, and put in the work ethic. Those are three things that Floyd does. Like, Floyd clowns around, but Floyd doesn't play when it comes to that training. Adrian plays, and he's playing himself, and he finds himself in trouble. I mean, it's not like Floyd wasn't in trouble, but we're looking at a guy here who is still under 30, I believe. Broner's still, like, what, 28?
Yeah, he's young. But I'm looking it up now. He's super young, I'm sure.
And the fact of the matter is that, like I said, he never improved in the ring. He still fights in the same style. And as an individual, he keeps himself in hot water. I don't know if he keeps the wrong people around, because you never hear anything about Robert Easter. Robert Easter is the guy who used to roll with Broner. You never hear nothing about Nuke. You never hear nothing about none of those guys, but Adrian's always doing some dumb shit. If this was the UFC, he'd be cut, but it's boxing, so he's still here.
Yeah, he's 28.
Yeah.
28, damn.
He got a fight with Omar Figueroa, which is pretty much the, you know, win or go home type of fight, because if he loses to Figueroa, which Figueroa probably is a better fighter than Broner to begin with, but like, you lose this fight and just lost to Mikey Garcia, yo, it's really time to reconsider your life. He's still spending money like it's water. It's like, yo, he's a cautionary tale for every boxer out there.
That rap career is hot still.
Man, please.
MMG.
No, Broner's like the old school pro wrestling character of boxing. Like, it's still real to him.
Kayfabe ain't dead. Kayfabe's alive.
It's terrible.
Floyd is the sports entertainment era. You know, Broner's like that old school guy that's in character all the time, and people forgot to tell him that it was scripted.
Yeah, like, he thinks he's a pro wrestling character that thinks his name is like Jake the Snake in real life. Like, he's that guy. Like, it's like, come on, son. Like, you are a human being, but he's like, no, I'm this guy, and I got to be this guy all the time. Like, yo, you remember he was like, Black Lives Matter, I don't give a fuck about that. Like, he's on that tip, and now it's coming back to bite him. It's like, when do you grow the fuck up? Never.
Never. That reminds me of when we were at WrestleMania. We saw Brian Knobbs. And the Nasty Boys live on. Like, he's forever a Nasty Boy.
Yeah, like, some guys are just, you know, they stuck. They're frozen. And Broner's one of them. And again, he's got Figueroa in a few months. I'm sure this grabbing this girl by the vagina. Like, man, I don't even want to talk about Adrian Broner anymore. He's not even worth our time, man. We got better things to do.
Broner, man. He is the entertainment, though, right? If he could win, the sideshow continues. His career ain't done.
If he won consistently, he'd be on his way to being Floyd. But he's the personality without the work ethic.
He's the perfect stepping stone. He's the heel that you need to put someone over. And if he could win this fight, he's going to be that same guy, man.
He is Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
Motherfucker can't win a match to save his life, but he's still relevant. So there you go. Adrian Broner is Bray Wyatt.
Oh, the disrespect for Bray Wyatt in that statement.
No, right? Like, the wrong person got disrespected, but it's true. At least Bray Wyatt can say, yo, they wrote me to lose. Like, son, you lose on purpose. Like, this is your life, but he's Bray Wyatt.
The crazy thing, though, is that Broner's, it feels like more. Broner's got 3 professional losses under his belt.
Yeah, he takes life L's. And the thing about Broner is he's made a lot of money, which makes you always go back and wonder, what the fuck am I doing wrong with my life? Like, this dude's making all this bread, but he's made a lot of money. He's still relevant. He'll still make money, but he's, you know, they don't mind giving money to people like Adrian Broner because you're never going to be a threat to society anyway. Like, you're never going to be a threat to the status quo, so I'll give you $1 million to watch you fuck it off. And that's what Broner's going to do. Like, he'll be him and Chris Brown. And I'm trying to think of somebody else. I know him and Chris Brown are going to be in, like, celebrity rehab. They're going to be, like, 40 years old with the Bobby Brown mouth and shit. Like, that's going to be both of them.
Damn, what's wrong with Chris Brown now? I thought he was a changed man. He got a documentary on Netflix.
Come on, son. Like, ain't nothing changed about Chris Brown. Chris Brown,
unlike Adrian Broner, Chris Brown is still making, at least for the kids, like, decent music.
Yeah, 46-song albums and shit.
Right. Somebody bought that shit. I don't know.
Yeah, I ain't bought
I'm just saying, like, Chris Brown, Chris Brown's one of those guys you got to take social media away from him. And Adrian Broner's one of those guys, like, you got to take life away from him because he can't be in public because he doesn't know how to act. So, like, we spent too much time on Adrian Broner.
Yes, we're going to talk about Black Panther, but you're not ruining this shit for me. So, just thumbs up, thumbs down in the Dre votingness scale. Like, just thumbs up, thumbs down.
Listen, I'm not going to go too in-depth, but I went and I tried. I didn't read a single review. I stayed away from everything. I muted a lot of the hashtags for Black Panther. This might be the best Marvel movie. It's up there with Civil War. Both Captain America movies are the best Marvel movies. Civil War and Winter Soldier are the best Marvel movies, in my opinion. But this is right up there with it. And the fact that it's like an all-black cast. Michael B. Jordan as Killmonger is absolutely phenomenal. And it's not even just his acting, it's the way the story was written. Ryan Coogler as a director is excellent. You got to see this movie. I'm not just saying it because it's black and it's Black History Month and we needed to see something like this, but yo, it was 2 hours well spent. I saw it with a theater. I went to the movie theater, it was a media screening, and there were 3 black people there and 15 white people. That's how many people. I'm not even bullshit because I counted them. It was 18 people at this theater, and one of the white people said, and some people saw this. He said this on Twitter. We can't say anything bad about this movie because, like, I don't want to be that guy. Even if it is bad, I'm not going to say anything bad about it because all the black movies. And I have a problem with that because if it's bad, say it's bad. Like, if it's not good, say it's not good. But there is this thing now where white folks don't feel like they could say anything about this without any backlash. Fortunately, the movie is great, but
you know what it is that people, you know, one of the things that I used to remember that you told us, man, back at DX way back in the day, is that your rating must be backed up by the words, and a lot of these reviewers are just trash. Like, if you can back up the shit that you say, I saw there was one bad review on Rotten Tomatoes. It's like from a critic in Australia, but like most of the review is like praise for the acting.
It's crazy.
So he just felt like giving it a bad number.
I think, is that the review where the guy was like, Black Panther didn't beat up enough bad guys or some shit like that?
I gotta look it up and see. But it was something about like the action sequences and things like that.
I will say this. If there's anything to criticize about Black Panther, is there's a lot of CGI. And when there's a lot of CGI, some of it feels really cartoony. So that could be a criticism. But as far as the narrative is concerned, I mean, you can tell that this was handled with care by Black people. Like, you can, the conflict, everything will resonate much more with African Americans than it will with other people. Because, like, Killmonger, for instance, Michael B. Jordan's character, without spoiling anything, there were people that left the theater that I was in that were confused as to why he was like, well, he's a villain, but it's like the moral thing. But that's like all Marvel movies, like all bad guys, like even Magneto, it was a moral thing, it was a morality thing, but it will resonate differently for Black people. Trust me when I say this, you will leave that theater and it will hit you differently than it hits a guy that is Caucasian. They may not understand Killmonger's motivations, but you will.
Nah, that's dope. I can't wait to see it. And you know, you're very honest about it. You spent like mad time on the set of the Tupac movie and all this stuff, and then it came out and you were like, "Eh."
Yeah, that was unfortunate. How about
that? So I mean, you know, you give it to the people straight, you ain't lying to them. So, now I can't wait to see it. I'm seeing it on Saturday. So,
before we talk about combat sports, what people came here to listen to. I've listened to today. I talked to Royce 5'9" and DJ Premier, and I listened to Prime 2 like 13 times in the past couple days. It's fucking great.
I hate you.
And a little nugget, because not enough people listen to this podcast to care and steal this information. The Prime album, because it's Premier sampling Ant-Man Wonder. I asked Royce and Primo if there was any other producers considered to sample their work, and it was Madlib originally. That blew my fucking mind. But they ended up going Ant-Man Wonder because they had a larger catalog to go from. The other thing, and I'm interviewing them tomorrow, is I've been listening to the Jericho Jackson album, the Elzai and Crisis album. That shit is also phenomenal. And Elzai, for people who don't listen to Elzai, Elzai is probably one of the greatest MCs who disappears randomly at times. He's had like bouts of depression. And me and him, we've talked about this in great length in the past, but this album is the first time he's actually been in the studio with another producer and been produced. And you'll hear it. It comes out, I believe, 2 weeks, the 28th. But that, yo, two albums with one producer, one MC, Premier and Royce and Elzai and Crisis are fucking great albums. So I'm just telling y'all now, go get that shit. My interviews will be on Billboard in the next couple weeks. But plug. But yeah, there's that.
Isn't that one of the people you bought to BET when you first got that job? To try to profile was Elzai?
No.
And they told you no and turned you away?
No, it was Drake.
Oh, I know the high profile people, but I thought you tried to bring like some underground shit in there. And they were like, well, nope.
Pac Div, they played me on. It's a long list. Nicki Minaj, they played me on. Nicki Minaj, Pac Div, Big Pooh. I'm trying to think who else. Crisis was there with Big Pooh. I think Crisis was there. I've brought a lot of people to the BET offices, and they were like, nah, we ain't fucking with that. But Drake was the one. Drake, I called, I was like, yo, I'm bringing Drake to the office, and my boss was like, who the fuck is Drake? Go get Gucci Man. Like, Gucci Man is better than Drake, and she looks like a dick now. Obviously, she don't work there anymore.
All right. Well, let's talk about UFC 221, combat sports. We'll run through it quick. It wasn't, you know, the deepest card, but I thought it was fairly entertaining. They had a lot of finishes. Had some characters on there. But it ended with Luke Rockhold getting knocked out. We had conversation in our group chat about Luke Rockhold, the possible star, and he was bringing out this side of his personality, being the asshole that he really is in real life. And then he gets knocked out by the son of God, who couldn't even weigh in correctly for a title fight. So what's the worst part of this? Is it Luke losing? Is it Yoel Romero being heavy as fuck? Is there no interim champion, which we have a million of now? Or is it that the division is just at a standstill and we see a rematch of a fight that, honestly, in my opinion, the first two rounds were good, but at the end, Rockhold got outclassed and couldn't take the guy down?
You mean Romero?
Oh, excuse me, Romero.
I guess I'll start and then I'll pass it off to you, AJ. Luke Rockhold, I'm not going to say he fought the wrong fight. Yeah, I am. I'm going to say he fought the wrong fight. Luke Rockhold is an excellent grappler. And he's a pretty big guy. He's tall. But Romero's obviously fucking huge. But to sit there and to fight at range like he was, but fighting off his back foot and allowing Romero to explode and never giving Romero an idea that he was going to do something else was the worst possible decision he made. Romero is a guy who I believe he's had 5 or 6 knockouts in the third round. If you can get past the third round, you're good. And Rocco was fighting a good fight, but he never gave Romero anything else to think about. So, one, it's great that there's no interim champion because we don't fucking need one because it's stupid. Two, nobody really wants to see Romero and Whitaker again. Romero did miss weight. I don't give a fuck if Dana White's going to try to back that up because of the short notice. It wasn't that goddamn short notice fight that Romero couldn't make weight. Cut it out. He had like 2 months to make weight. Chill. But that's not the worst part about it is we have Romero and Whitaker again, and that fight was not competitive past the second round.
No.
So why should we see it again? And Rocco, maybe he's got to move light heavyweight. The guy needs a reboot. He's clearly... There's something not clicking with Rockhold at this point.
Should probably go back to AKA too.
Well, yeah, that could help. But it's just ultimately he didn't use the tools that he has to win the fight. And maybe he slept on Romero a little bit, just like he did with Bisping and ended up getting caught. Because he was lazy when he got caught with that shot. He needs to retool. But the middleweight division, I'm glad there's no interim champion. You couldn't have told me 2 years ago that Robert Whittaker would be sitting on top of this division because he got mauled by Wonder Boy, and here he is as the champion of 185. But then, better question is, who gives a fuck about the UFC?
that's a whole different podcast. That's way too in depth. AJ, what do you see in this one, man?
You asked what went wrong. I could, you know, it'd be a shorter list of telling you what went right. You know, the knockout was pretty much the best thing about that card, you know, and it's just emblematic of all of the issues that UFC has had leading up to and through the sale. You know, Dre says it all the time, WME bought a lemon, but, you know, I think they're doing a lot to fuck it up, too.
Yeah, too many cards, man. Way too many cards. Because if you put this weekend's card combined with that pay-per-view card last week, you have a pretty damn good card top to bottom. Like, the main event this week would have been a great third fight last week with Cowboy on the card versus Medeiros. And then Sage Northcutt is on this card. Sage would have been great for the prelims last week. You just take away one card a month and make it 2 cards a month, one on FS1 or Fox and one on pay-per-view, and everything's fixed. Oh, the star power is not fixed, but at least you got deep-ass cards again.
221 should have been on free TV like they used to do with Spike when they'd have cards in like Europe back in the day when they had to damn near beg people to watch, you know, mixed martial art.
Yeah, it wasn't built for the prime time. Dre, I thought Rockhold had a good game plan though. He got caught and his chin is suspect now. The chin never recovers. But I thought he had a great game plan. If you're not going to wrestle, because I think he was scared to death to wrestle a guy like that. He attacked the leg, and we saw Romero have to be carried out of the cage after the third round. So you go to the leg, he was chopping down the tree, and, you know, he won the first round, in my opinion, lost the second and third, but you get out of the third, you win the fourth and fifth, because the guy could barely stand, and he gasses all the damn time. So he just got caught too early. He was 2 minutes away from winning that shit, because he went on a fourth and a fifth, and the guy could barely stand.
I mean, the leg kicks were great. It just, you didn't give the man a different look. That's all I'm saying. It's like, yeah. Well, Romero, you got to give him a different look. He's looking at the same thing for 3 rounds and thinking, well, I could explode on him because he's going to be there. It's not like he's going to ever shoot for a takedown. And the crazy thing about Romero is this. He's an Olympic wrestler, but he doesn't really use his wrestling to win fights. He knocks people the fuck out.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you get taken down and Rocco is pretty decent off of his back, maybe you could work your way out of something here, but to stay in there with him for a long time, and I know hindsight is 2020, and we can look at it and say that he made some mistakes, but it's true. You have to give a fighter like Romero who explodes. He's not a combination. He's kind of robotic with his striking, but he explodes. You got to give him something to think about, and the leg kicks were something to think about, but you never really changed levels on the guy. You never gave him a different look, and ultimately, it's what cost you. And yeah, he did get caught. He left that, whatever he threw was a kick or a punch, he left that shit out there too long and it came back to haunt him. So I mean, kudos to Yoel Romero. I mean, the guy has beaten a who's who of the middleweight division, and he's an exceptional fighter. But, you know, again, who cares? It's the middleweight division of the UFC.
Yeah, and I don't think he's beating Whitaker in the rematch. So he's one of those guys, bridesmaid, never the bride.
Yo, I don't, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. Like, as good as Whitaker has been, I'm not going to say he's like Derek Brunson, but he's beaten a lot of people, but he can get caught, man. Like, Romero could beat him in the rematch. It's not like Robert Whitaker is unbeatable.
No, by no means.
He's clicking right now, but Robbie Lawler was clicking too, and Tyron Woodley watched that ass. So it's like, it happens to the best of them. Robert Whitaker against Yoel Romero. Robert Whitaker's not like a fluid striker like Rockhold is. There are things that Robert Whitaker, he has got great takedown defense. It's just that Romero's going to have to pace himself better in the rematch. See, that's really all there is to it.
When you've got knockout power, you're always in the fight.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the gas tank to match. And
that's a long 15 minutes with the guy that only has to catch you once.
Yeah, Whitaker showed what you do, though, is you take your chance of getting knocked out in the first and second round. So he went balls to the wall for the first and second round, and Romero had his chance. Romero swung wildly. He went for several takedowns. He did all this shit in the first and second round to win that fight and had nothing left for the third, fourth, and fifth. And Whitaker said, I gotcha, idiot. What Rockhold did was said, I'm sitting back and letting you dictate when you explode. Instead of just going all out, attacking Romero and saying, Romero, you got to match my pace, and you're going to gas out before me. And that's where he went wrong. And it all fucked up from there. So that was the main event. We saw Curtis Blaydes wrestle Mark Hunt, blah, blah, blah. Blaydes is now top five. They just needed youth movement and heavyweight. So trash. Why the fuck not? Everybody's like 37 plus anyway. There's a bunch of old men in there. Give Blaydes a shot. Tuivasa did a truffle shuffle. From the Goonies, the big man belly roll is dope as a celebration. I say we need more flabby big man guts to celebrate in the UFC. And he drank beer out of a boot. Or some type of sneaker.
It was disgusting.
I guess he says they do that shit all the time. He said they usually do it with a boot and everybody spits in it and then you drink it.
That's
called a booty. I don't know. It's some shit in Australia. Those Aussies are crazy. And then the real star of the show, though, before we move on real quick to our other topics, is Israel Adesanya. And Israel is dope. Came in, took a piss on the side of the octagon, it looked like. He did that. It was funny. Came in and washed his opponent, 28 years old. Great striking. His highlight video was crazy. And people are championing him already as the next John Jones. Is that fair or unfair?
Unfair. Like, why are we even doing this to this kid? And I mean, he's 28, he's not even a kid, but we do this a lot. We see a guy beat up somebody who's not worth shit, and we go, man, he's next. No, he's got to beat some people. Like, he'll get a prime spot, which is cool. His striking was great. I thought he looked really good, but the next John Jones, I mean, even if he is, temper your expectations.
Yeah,
can you
lofty.
Be surprised about something? Like, we can't even be surprised about anything in the UFC anymore. We're disappointed by everything because Dana goes out there and blows his fucking horn and tells you who the next big thing is, and they all fucking lose. And then, so what do you have left? And so it's like with this guy, I mean, he looks good, but John Jones, come on. John Jones is arguably, without the cocaine, the greatest pound-for-pound fighter we've ever seen.
To be fair, I think he needed the cocaine to do that. So it's let's not separate the two.
We didn't know that at the time.
No. But I mean, you know, it happens that we might now know he was fueled by the cocaine. But yeah, the next John Jones is lofty because John Jones was a champion for 3 years by this point. By the age of 28, he was a champion for 3 years, right?
But John Jones wasn't built as John Jones until, you know, he had actually done some things in the octagon. Like his first fight, I think, was like Stephen Bonner.
It was. Was it Stephen Bonner or was it Jake O'Brien?
UFC 100 was his first fight, or was it before
that? Nah, I think it was before that, because he fought Bonner and he fought Jake O'Brien. I always forget who he fought first, but I remember I saw both of those fights.
Yeah, and let's see.
Even still, it was like, yeah, you're right, AJ. It was like, you look, and you saw John Jones, and nobody was trumpeting John Jones that soon. I don't think it was until he absolutely murdered. What was that?
Vader was the match before the title shot.
Yeah, but no, it was a fight before that. He headlined the fight. I went to it in San Diego. It was a janitor.
Andre Guzman.
No,
that was his first fight, Minneapolis. And then Stephen Bonner, Jake O'Brien, Matt Hamill, who he destroyed, but got DQ'd.
Yeah, the only real loss on his record,
Yep. That was that Roy Jones loss. That was like you got lucky, motherfucker. I'm gonna kill you.
And then that's what that
was. Vladimir Matyshenko.
Yes, Matyshenko, and when John Jones murdered him and he crucifixed him and just plowed him with elbows, that's when John Jones arrived. Because then the Bader fight came. And people were like, okay, John Jones is serious. Bader will be his first test. But it took that's like four fights. This dude had one fight.
The Brandon Vera fight raised some eyebrows too, because that bruise that he put on Vera's head.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Crazy. But it was action. It was all action. Like, it wasn't talk. It was, you watched John Jones progress and you were like, yo, he's gonna kick some ass. It wasn't like one fight against somebody and you're like, he's next. We got to stop doing that, man. We're setting people up for failure.
Yeah. I mean, the Stephen Bonner fight looks great, but I guess before that Bader fight, like, who did he fight? Like, he was fat. He looked impressive with all his fights, but his resume wasn't, like, that deep before then either.
No, not at all.
He was fast-tracked, too. So hopefully I don't want them to move this kid too fast, but if they do, you know, protect him against strikers. I don't need to see this guy with his back on the ground. You know, don't feed him to a guy like the young kid they fed to Frankie Edgar, which was a
Yair Rodriguez,
who ended up with his back on the mat for 3 rounds, just looking fucking helpless. Like, don't do that. Like, slow the kid down.
Can we admit that one of the biggest things that the UFC did was allow Joe Silva to walk away? Their matchmaking has been pretty fucking bad lately.
Well, yeah, it's just, it's a puppet show, right? Like, they let the guy who actually knew how to matchmake get away purposely so WME can say, we want control. We want to put the people we believe can succeed on a mainstream level at the forefront. And it shit hasn't worked out. Because they, for some reason, for a company that doesn't care about rankings, they're trying to shoot these kids up the rankings. Like, if you don't give a fuck about rankings, like, you're going to give a guy who's ranked 7th or 8th a title shot. What the hell are you putting in guys like Yair Rodriguez against the second best fighter in that weight class? Just have him fight a bunch of cans and jump Frankie.
This is like WWE style building, but, you know, fights are real. Like, you got to win.
Yeah. Yep. No, they're taking L's out of nowhere. So, that kid's antics and his mic work, though, A+. A+. He has the talk. He talks the talk, and that's half the battle nowadays. And I wouldn't be surprised, not this fight, probably a fight after, he'll be headlining one of the FS1 cards.
Yay.
you're not enthused. All right, so we're going to take a break, but you know what? We spent a lot of time on all this random shit, so let's speed through it. Touch on boxing a little bit. Danny Garcia's coming up this weekend against Rios. Are you going to be in town for that fight?
Am I going to be what?
Are you in town for that fight, or are you jet-setting?
Yeah, no, I'm going out of town, and I'm going to come back for the fight, but it's hard.
You sound enthused to be at the Mandalay Bay.
Listen, man, like, people think there's certain people that I don't like certain people. Like, I have no problem with Daniel Garcia as an individual because I don't know him. I could care less. But his matchmaking has been absolutely terrible. Ever since he fought Matisse and beat Matisse on the Floyd Mayweather undercard, he has been squeaking by fighters he should beat, the Lamont Petersons of the world, Mauricio Herreros, who I thought Mauricio Herrera beat him. And now he's fighting Brandon Rios, who clearly is washed. Like, this is not the dangerous Brandon Rios that was fighting at 130. We got to remember, like, this is Brandon Rios fighting 147, who always struggled with weight. I'm not looking forward to this fight, because what does it even do for Danny Garcia? And then Danny Garcia had the nerve to say that Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence need to fight each other before they fight him. That's where he fucked up. And that wasn't even Angel Garcia saying that. That was Danny Garcia saying that. Like, come on, man. Like, Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence have to fight each other before they fight you? No, one of them needs to whoop your ass because you're over here. They call him the cherry picker, but I don't even know if it's completely his fault or if it's Al Heyman's fault, but he's being matched up with fighters who have names but are no longer any good. So I'll be ringside for the fight, but I'll probably be checking my fantasy bet. No, it's All-Star Weekend. I'll probably be watching NBA All-Star Weekend on my computer. Like, yo, I don't care, man. I don't care. This is not a good fight.
No, I think it's once again, but I think he's one of the faces of, you know, their promotion. So they got to let him win sometime.
I mean, he's been winning. He only has one loss.
No, but he just looked shitty in a couple fights. The Thurman fight wasn't even close. Even though I just found out he lost that by split decision.
Yes, because Keith Thurman took his foot off the gas a la Oscar De La Hoya and Phoenix Trinidad. Like, that was Keith's problem. Keith could have walked out of that there with like a 9-3 edge, and he ended up winning a split decision because he took his foot off the gas. But Danny Garcia has won fights. Like, we'll see how many people are at the Mandalay Bay this weekend. How about that? We'll see how many people are at the fight.
Yeah, that's unfair. Because we know there's not going to be a lot of people at that damn fight.
Well, exactly. Facts.
It's going to be me, you, the popcorn person who brings you snacks.
Nah, man,
and like
10 left.
Other people.
My snack person left, man. She moved.
Oh, ain't that a shame.
I don't get my snack pack, so I'm just going to be there. Like, with the terror. Like, it's Mandalay Bay, too. No Shake Shack. Come on, man. I'm begrudgingly going to this fight.
That's what hurts the most. No Shake Shack. I don't know what they're really doing with him. It's not productive. Like, it's killing time. But sooner or later, he's going to get fed to Errol Spence. Or he's going to get fed to Sean Porter. He's going to be one of those guys. He's the stepping stone guy for that side. He's going to be Adrian Broner without the grabbing chicks by the vag. That's what he's going to be. That's his career. He'll make a decent amount of money for it, but he should have stayed his ass on 140. 140 cleared out now. He can have a ball down there, but 147, he ain't built for that life at all. And you say you don't dislike many boxers. That is false. I believe you dislike Jesse Vargas with a passion.
I don't, like, not even him as a person.
Not as a person, just his boxing career.
Yeah, the guy just kind of, he's been getting over for so many years. And I mean, he kind of put it together against Saddam Ali, but other than that, like, he didn't deserve no Manny Pacquiao fight. Shit happens. Anyway.
Yeah, that's boxing, because, I mean, shit, we don't got too much boxing to talk about every week. Like, boxing's been on a long hiatus and slumber. So that shit will wake up around, what, May 5th. Let's check back in there. We'll see what Deontay Wilder brings here in a couple of weeks. That means, now that all that shit's out of the way, it's wrestling time. The gloves come off here. Let me prepare myself. No goddamn it, Kel moments. This is what I got to do when there's two people on this show, because y'all will be quick to jump on me and never let me get out of that circle, especially Andreas. He likes having someone here to back up his wild old man shit. So
don't get it confused. I don't need anybody to back you into a corner.
No, you just like having it.
It's fun to see other people witness the shit that I gotta listen to deal with every goddamn week.
Let's talk about New Japan and the Bullet Club breakup before we dive into WWE and all this shit that upset Andreas, which is surprising because you were talking shit about the WWE mid fucking facial and manicure, it looks like. So that really tells you something, and that it really upset you with SmackDown this week. So we'll get into that in a second. Yeah. Let's start with New Japan. You know, keep the mood light. Bullet Club breaking up. Where does this go? Because it's all up in the air. We see the Golden Lovers are back. They still have Being the Elite, but the Elite really isn't on there because Kenny Omega is not part of it. Those shows as much anymore. Where does this go? Do we have the Elite versus Bullet Club separation? Do we just keep the Bullet Club? Is the Elite still in it? Where do you see it going? Like, if you had to peg it, where should it go? AJ, what do you see? You're going down. You love all the New Japan shows and ROH shows.
So this is one of those situations where knowing that the results are pre-scripted really, like, fucks up the experience. Because you think about other stuff other than, like, what's in the ring. So you got the Elite, and you got all that merchandise money from, like, the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and the Hung Bucks over in the States. So I think you see the Bucks and Omega stay together. I think if you're looking from a straight wrestling, no business standpoint, like, they should probably just kick Cody out of the group.
Cody, get the hell out of here. But if that means Cody, I don't think Cody's strong enough to be the leader of the New Japan Bullet Club. He's not AJ Styles.
Cody's not even signed to New Japan.
Oh, yeah. No, they got to kick his ass out the group. Yeah, he serves no place. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of Cody Rhodes. His in-ring leaves a lot to be desired.
Cody's building up for that WWE return. He'll be Cody Rhodes before he retires again. Guaranteed.
Damn shame. Dre, where do you think this goes?
I don't know. I hope it just doesn't go towards an NWO type Wolfpack thing. The smart thing, AJ's right, because, you know, the money is where Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks go. Everybody else in the Bullet Club over in New Japan don't make any movement in the States. So it'll be interesting to see who ends up where, which makes you wonder, are they going to bring somebody else in? Because Cody's not here for the long haul. And Marty Scurll, I don't feel like he's the guy to lead the Bullet Club either.
Wait, so you think Cody's going back to the E?
Cody's
not immediately, but eventually.
He'll be eventually back. This isn't a long-term thing. It's not like Kenny. Like, Kenny, I feel like, is in New Japan for a while. Cody's not signed in New Japan. He does the ROH stuff, but he's just kind of here. It's a little bit longer than a cup of coffee, but he's here, so they're going to make the most of him. But he isn't the guy to lead the Bullet Club in the new frontier. So I'm interested because New Japan rarely fails me with their long-term booking. Maybe they got an ace up their sleeve. I don't know. I don't think Kenny Omega will be leading the Bullet Club by the end of the year. I think he'll be gone in some capacity, and maybe it will be split off into the Elite. But if the Young Bucks aren't in the Bullet Club, who does the Bullet Club really have?
Tama Tonga.
Man, I have this thing about...
on the real, though, you laugh, but, like, the guy needs a push, right? Like, it's time to shit or get off the pot.
He's, like, Tama Tonga, I've said this before, like, he looks like a star, but...
He's not a leader.
Yeah, that's like he's not here to lead. Like, it would be like Randy Orton leading Evolution back in the day. He wasn't built for that. Like, he was built to break away from Evolution. He wasn't built to lead Evolution. Tama Tonga doesn't feel like a guy who's leading the Bullet Club. It feels like they need another American from somewhere with some kind of name recognition to step in. And Cody's just like, yeah, talent wise, he's not that guy. He could talk. He's like The Miz, but. I don't know, man. It's interesting to watch. It'll be interesting to watch. I'm gonna stay tuned to it, but shrug.
Does Ibushi join the Elite or Bullet Club, or is this like just a quick space filler?
I see. So when you throw Ibushi into the mix, I could see Kenny getting the boot and going and doing the tag team. Now that he's not the champ anymore.
A run at the tag team titles wouldn't be bad. That division needs new blood anyway.
Yeah, but my only concern is I feel like Kenny and Kota Ibushi are a tag team, but for like certain situations. They're not like a real tag team. I can't see like Kenny Omega not making a run at the IGPW heavyweight title. I can't see him not going that route after losing the U.S. title. I can't see him and Kota Ibushi being in a tag program and tag team champions. I could be wrong. Maybe they do make a run at the titles.
I mean, there's a lot of time between now and Wrestle Kingdom next year. I don't think Okada loses the belt before Wrestle Kingdom. So,
well, there's some interesting things. Like, we just had the New Japan show, New Beginning in Osaka, where Okada defeated Sanada. And Okada also announced that he'll be competing in the New Japan Cup this year, which the champion never does. But it feels like they're going to start. It feels like maybe they're setting up Okada to lose because he's kind of putting himself in a position where he's going to be doing a lot. And he's held the title for, what, 600 days now?
Yeah, that's something crazy. Yeah.
I mean, he'll lose something in the New Japan Cup.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. Like, Okada could lose the G1 and lose the New Japan World Cup. He's still a champion.
Right.
So it only sets up vulnerability. And whoever gets over on him, it sets up a match later on down the line. So it'll be interesting who his next rival is, because it's clear that Naito and his crew couldn't cut the mustard. Like, they all lost to Chaos. All of them did over the past couple weeks.
So weird, because then you had Evil that beat Okada in the G1. And then, right. Like, nothing came of it.
Well, he got his title shot and he lost, because Okada never loses at the big show. But Los Incorporables de Japón, they have basically, maybe there's going to be some dissension with those guys, but they got washed in the past couple weeks by Chaos. Ospreay beat Takahashi. Evil lost to Gato. I mean, not Gato, Goto. And Okada beat Sonata. So it's like, who's the next person that's going to step up? Jay White has been teased that he's going to challenge Okada. And I think that's going to happen on the minor show.
Yeah, but he's not ready to take that strap. You don't bypass everyone that you just bypass to give Jay White the title.
Well, I mean, ultimately, you just have to have people for Okada to beat before you set up his true rival for Wrestle Kingdom, whoever wins G1. Jay White won't be that guy, but he may be the guy who turns on Okada because he's in Chaos right now at the New Japan World Cup and puts himself in position right before G1 to face Okada. That might be his next rival.
I tell you what would be perfect, and we'll see if it becomes, if it comes of it, you never know with New Japan, but I would love for Neville to get his release and go back and be the surprise entrant in G1 this year and win it.
Well, he won't win it.
It just doesn't happen. Like, usually you build years into it. I would love to see that happen. I would love to see Neville just go straight in, red hot, win it, heel Neville, like we saw in fucking Cruiserweight Classic, but just taking off, and him and Okada will put on one hell of a match.
Nah.
You got Mysterio on deck, too.
Is that not a one-off?
Could be. He's fighting Juice and Thunder Liger, so it's like,
Yeah, Mysterio's fighting someone who's 80 years old.
Yeah, but Neville's kind of built for their Cruiserweight division. I mean, Neville versus Ospreay is some shit that we'd all like to see.
That'd be dope.
I don't necessarily want to see him in the heavyweight title picture, because he's a little guy.
Well, but isn't that, he doesn't want to be stuck in the Super Juniors. Like, isn't that why he's leaving WWE?
No, because Super Juniors in New Japan is actually mean something. 205 Live is trash. So being stuck in that kind of purgatory, yeah, you want your release. But being in the New Japan, because like Kenny Omega was a Super Junior.
Yeah, and then wanted to bump up.
Yeah, but you graduate. So Neville can graduate and gradually make his way towards the title. In WWE, once you're in 205 Live, that's like purgatory. It's like it's a wrap.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. I think he's paid his dues to kind of bypass that rule and go straight to the heavyweight division. And plus, he's big as hell now. It's not like he's tiny Neville now.
He's still short.
Yeah, he's still a little guy.
Yeah.
He's like Mysterio. Like, Mysterio's in the gym, but he's still a little guy.
Mysterio was ripped. Thank God they don't test part-timers.
Yo, he was juiced to the gills. God damn, he was juiced.
That was crazy. Yeah. All right, let's talk about Raw real quick. We'll run down. Bayley beat Sasha. Still no heel turn. What bullshit is this? I'm upset. Tag team scene is kind of going nowhere. I don't know who's challenging for the tag team titles next. We have Nia attacking Asuka. Or Nia versus Asuka coming up at the pay-per-view, but they're not having any build. Nia somehow was in the Bayley-Sasha beef. Fatal 5-way match. And that was pretty much Raw in a nutshell. So where do we start? I'd say my angst for Sasha Banks not turning heel. Are they wasting away, or is she just not going to be on Mania?
Well, this is going to probably be a pre-show match. Sasha, Bayley, and Nia Jax in a 3-way. Because clearly, Asuka's going to either be going for the title or Ronda Rousey. The latter I don't want to see. But there's not enough room for Sasha, Bayley, and Nia Jax to do anything else but wrestle each other. And I can't see Absolution being involved in that. I don't want to see like a huge multi-women match. But with Nia attacking the both of them to try to prove a point, and Nia clearly is going to lose to Asuka, I feel like this is the only route that you can go for the true heel turn of Sasha Banks. To have somebody else involved in that feud. And Nia's been booked kind of shitty to begin with. So, yeah, this might be a WrestleMania pre-show match.
Oh, all right. Putting Bay on the pre-show. AJ, what do you think?
I mean, Sasha's one of those people that, like, the heel turn will always be there. So it doesn't they don't necessarily need to pull the trigger, even though they should. Bayley is the one, really, that's suffering here. She's like, you know, Sami Zayn prior to his run at the WWE title. Bayley is much better when she's on the chase, and when she's chasing that adversity. The problem is she never gets on the chase. It feels like she's a superstar that loses all the time, and it's hard for people to get behind that.
Yeah, I feel you. They didn't build it up right. Like, they gave her the belt too fast. She never felt like an underdog.
Yep.
She was Bingo. Just the champion who lost and could never regain her footing. And that's where they fucked up from the get-go. And it's hard to hit the reset button. They got to have her lose for like a year. Like Cien Almas. Like, just go on a long-ass losing streak. So people forget that you're even fucking good.
The only problem is the women's division lacks depth. Even though they got more women, there's just not enough women for Bayley to lose every week. Because they're just be like, fuck it, just cut her. Like, if she's just going to lose to Alicia Fox, just get rid of her. But there's not enough depth. So it's weird because there's not enough depth, but there's just way too much talent on both shows. But they got to do something with them.
Yeah. I mean, she could lose to every member of the fucking Absolution. There's enough women there to beat her ass every week.
It's not fun anymore. And then with Bayley, you know, you never. That's somebody that you just have to turn the corner. It's like with Johnny Gargano, who, you know, fan favorite, loses a bunch. They turn the corner at the right time. With Bayley, she just keeps losing.
Well, now she beat Sasha, but that's just setting her up to lose.
Right.
Yeah, in the coming weeks, so it doesn't even matter. Tag team scene, we really don't see anything. For some reason, Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins are still a thing in the tag team championship mix, which makes no sense because you have the Revival, you have the Club, pull the trigger on one of them because obviously you need a Mania match.
Well, I think the issue here is injuries. I think like WWE's trying, the writers are trying to write themselves out of some shit because clearly Rollins and Ambrose were supposed to be the tag team. Like, Rollins is the odd man out in all of this.
Yeah.
And they've kind of had to reset everything that he needed to do. Because you had Rollins and Ambrose, and you had Rollins and Jason Jordan, and now there's nobody. So,
Rollins and Reigns.
Right, so like the Revival and Gallows and Anderson, I don't think were ever supposed to be part of that tag team picture going into WrestleMania. But you're right. At this point, you kind of play the Revival by making them look like complete douches at the anniversary show. So you could have built them up to be a legit tag team, but they haven't. And Gallows and Anderson has been played like douches as well for the past year. So even when they win, it's like, so? Like, nobody cares. Like, the tag team division is in a little bit of turmoil right now where you can't find a tag team that's legit to face the Bar.
Yeah.
So I have no idea where they're going.
It's a damn shame because the Bar, if you pay attention, or not the Bar, the Club, the only matches they've won the past couple weeks is when Finn fills in.
Yeah.
Finn fills in, he gets the pin, then they could win. As a tag team together, they lose every match. So it's like, it's time to do something. Hopefully, at Elimination Chamber, they let them and the Revival go at it. The winner gets the tag team match at WrestleMania. You can only have so many triple threats. Yeah. And crazy shit. So you're going to have a tag team triple threat at Mania? Like, I feel like it's too much.
It's what happens when you have too much talent. You just start trying to cram them all into this card.
It's a damn shame. So the best moment of Raw, Braun Strowman comes out.
Come on, like, listen, we've gotten to the point with Braun Strowman where it's organic now. Like, you can get these hands, I don't think, was something that happened in the writer's room. I think there was some shit that Braun said, and it's just catching on. And the guy's just, he's a star. He should have never lost to Roman Reigns. You know, I think, like, last year I said this. Like, when you beat the Giant, it's like King Hippo. They expose their weakness. But they figured out a way to keep Braun still strong. But the problem now is, how does he not win Elimination Chamber?
How does he not win the belt? How does he not beat Lesnar? He's been crushing Lesnar all the damn time lately.
No, but therein lies your other issue, is the fact that we've seen this shit already. That's the biggest problem with WrestleMania right now in the Raw title picture, is Brock has already faced just about everybody that you could face for the title that's worth a damn. So, like, we've seen him in Braun. We've seen him in, like, they kind of kept him away from Roman, but he was still in, like, multi-man matches with Roman Reigns. So we're in a position where nothing feels fresh. Like, if we get a Braun, Roman, and Brock triple threat, we've seen that before, minus Samoa Joe. We've seen everything they've had to offer. So I really don't know how you paint yourself out of this corner.
I don't know either. And it'll be a damn shit. Like, I don't want to see Brock Roman one-on-one, though.
That's what you're going to get?
Absolutely not.
I need to see something else. Like, if it's one-on-one, it better be like Hell in a Cell. It has to be something that feels grand. And they're indoors this year, right? So you can do Hell in a Cell?
Yeah, but I hope not. I don't want that. Like, every scenario that you speak of, like, all involves Brock Lesnar, and I'm at the point where I don't want to see Brock Lesnar in the title.
Someone got to take him out, take the belt off of him, though.
Like, we've seen Braun Strowman develop this personality, and the fans have gotten behind him, and this thing with Elias this week was excellent. Him bringing out the goddamn bass and playing it like a guitar and then breaking it with his hand and then singing like in a normal voice. There was so many great things about Braun Strowman that you sit back and you go, well, what else can he do? Like, if he loses, where does he go? It doesn't make any sense for him to lose in Elimination Chamber. And if he loses, ultimately, Elimination Chamber is going to be set up to build some separate feuds heading into WrestleMania. Yeah. So whoever pins Braun Strowman is probably going to be the person he feuds with going into WrestleMania. What's it going to be, him and Finn Balor, the Demon and Braun Strowman?
No, I think we get Finn versus Miz, and they're the two that start their program off of that. And then, you know, Roman Reigns, I think, still has to win. I think the way you set up the triple threat, which is shitty to end a pay-per-view on a shenanigans ending, and we kind of saw this a little bit SmackDown-wise, but I think you have to have them do a simultaneous pin.
Oh, we just saw that. We just saw that.
I know, but you have to do the simultaneous pin. Both guys get the pin, just like we just saw with fucking Finn and Rollins. And you got to do the simultaneous pin. They both get the shot at Lesnar, I mean.
Nah, give me like the old school double shoulders down, backslide finish, you know, Flair and Steamboat style.
Oh, I like that. That's not a bad thing either. They both pin each other.
Well, you're not getting any of those. I'm going to tell you guys that right now. You're not going to get any of those. And then further,
one arm over each other's chest to finish it?
Nah. You're not getting any of those shenanigans. Roman Reigns is probably going to win this thing clean.
Oh, that means he has to pin Braun clean at the end. It has to be those two, final two, clean.
Yeah, probably. So here's the thing. Even if Finn Balor, like this Finn Balor-Miz thing, I don't think happens. Where I think it could happen, because I feel like Finn has no direction. And I hate to say this, but what if we are trending towards Matt Hardy, Bray Wyatt, and Finn Balor, where we have this mystical, magical,
they gave up on the Finn fucking Pumpkin King. No.
Are you sure about that? Because the Demon's coming out at WrestleMania.
Yeah, but not in this way. No. No.
That'll be the longest crawl to the ring.
But I'm just saying, like, Finn doesn't have any direction. I hope they don't go that route. It just feels like somebody in the writer room, I guarantee, has pitched that idea. Like a demon.
And they should have been slapped right there on site.
It feels like you have three weird characters that could all have three great entrances and then have a very weird match that nobody will want to see.
No,
I feel like if the Demon is undefeated at pay-per-views, right? I feel like they might be trending that route to have the Demon and Braun Strowman.
No, I think they go Rollins. It'll be Rollins, Finn, Miz, triple threat, IC title.
I don't see that.
Just because Rollins and Finn have the beef from this week, they're going to play up that beef a little bit more next week with the double pin and all that stuff, and they're going to get a feud between those two. And then I think we see them inserted on the Miz. And on the 25th anniversary, after it went off air, they made sure that Rollins came over to the MSG, but the New York City venue, and made sure he showed up and he did the pointing at the Miz and saying, that's going to be my title. Finn was in the ring. I think there's a lot of promo shit that can be worked through that. I think we see those three guys carry the IC program moving forward.
I see a multi-man ladder match for the IC title.
No, I can't do that because I see that for the U.S. title.
You might get two of them then.
Too many ladders at that point.
Like, Elias needs something to do. Finn needs something to do. Rollins needs something to do. Needs something to do.
I like what was mentioned in group chat. Elias is going to catch this old school superstar beatdown.
Possible.
He's going to come out singing, and then some fucking Goldberg's going to spear him. after his Hall of Fame speech.
They all need something to do. And again, WrestleMania is too much talent, and you got to put six men somewhere. Yeah. You might get 2 6-man matches. We're going to talk about SmackDown in a minute. SmackDown is completely directionless right now.
There's Andre the Giant shit. Just give him the Andre the Giant shit. Give that to Elias. Fuck it. Let him win it. Why not? Now let's talk about SmackDown. Fuck it. Owens and Zayn come out. I like the opening promo. I like the opening thing with the attack. And
I didn't.
Ziggler comes back and did nothing.
Can I tell you why I didn't like this? You had a bunch of heels beating each other up. Why the fuck was this? Why did this happen?
I mean, they ain't got shit else to do. And you got like 2 heels that are just wreaking havoc anyway. Fuck it.
That's a problem.
Is like you have Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn beating up Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler. Like for Dolph Ziggler to disappear to come back and like now he's in the title picture. Like this is a piss poor booking. Like SmackDown is trash now. Like SmackDown's been for the past few weeks. We have kind of like we're still teasing Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon, which something has to happen with them at WrestleMania. But this whole Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn thing is stupid now because. Now, even if one of them were to win the title at Fastlane, they don't feel like they've earned it because they've been made into a joke. Kevin Owens was on a great streak when he was feuding with Shane, and now him and Sami are together, and they're like, they just lost to Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler. How are any of you going to beat AJ Styles?
Right.
Yeah, no one's beating AJ Styles. As soon as it got to the point where Nakamura, after the Rumble, said, fuck challenging for that championship, I'm going to face AJ Styles.
Exactly.
Which blew all intrigue.
So it's the, you know, still real to me. Because even if Zayn or Owens, you know, wins in Fastlane, they'll probably drop it the next Tuesday at SmackDown.
Word. Because, like, somehow they have to cost each other the title. And people don't want to break them up yet. And it's been great for Sami Zayn to even get on TV, let alone to have a meaningful program. But fuck it, there's nothing else for the two to do.
Nah, you can't break them up, man.
Yeah, like, no, the cup really champion gimmick would be cool, like late summer, early fall, but not for WrestleMania.
Season. So then, the only other thing you can give them is a damn pre-show match against Corbin and Ziggler. Corbin and Ziggler versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens on WrestleMania, and that's shitty.
Or you go back to this whole Shane McMahon thing. Shane McMahon, like. I feel like there's a possibility that they're trying to figure out what they're doing with Daniel Bryan. Like, they're trying to figure out if he can wrestle, if he can do anything. You could see Sami and Kevin against Shane and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania.
I thought Daniel Bryan and Shane are going against each other.
Don't be so sure about that.
I wouldn't mind a 3-on-3. Now, if you say, like, you know, you give me 2 other people on the other side and you give me that, I wouldn't mind that.
I'm just saying, we can all agree that the Shane and Daniel Bryan thing is dragged on way too long. They need to come to a conclusion sooner than later.
Yeah, but I don't see Bryan going back into the ring with all the lawsuits and stuff going on now.
No, I think this is the way to get his ass out of the GM role. It's like, it's going to be either me or you, loser leaves town, your guy versus my guy, some shit like that.
Like, it could be Daniel Bryan's a special guest referee and Shane gets a tag partner. I have no idea who he could get a tag partner against. Like, I feel like it has to be something with Shane, Kevin, and Sami because they've dragged this on for way too long. And if either of them are not the champ, Kevin Owens is too good to be on anybody's pre-show. He's too good to be fighting it for any kind of U.S. title. He's got to be involved in some kind of marquee match that'll happen early in the pay-per-view, that 9-hour WrestleMania show. So I feel like it's got to be something involved with Shane.
Oh, I don't need to see another McMahon match. Like, do you understand we're getting every McMahon in the damn ring at WrestleMania?
You're going to get it, so
suck it up. Stephanie's going to have a fucking match. Triple H is going to be in the match. I'm done. It's unnecessary. The only thing I want to see less is The Undertaker come back and wrestle.
Oh, Lord.
I'm done with that. Give Cena someone fresh.
MAGA Taker.
Oh, by the way, Cena versus Strowman wouldn't be a bad program to put Strowman over at Mania.
Actually, damn, you might be right.
In that shit, too. Cena put Strowman over at Mania isn't bad.
That's probably going to be the direction. I could definitely see that one coming. Because Strowman needs to beat somebody with a name and somebody who's like a legend. And if he's not wrestling for the title, it'd have to be like him and John Cena have to get into it at Elimination Chamber. Something, some shenanigans have to happen.
Cena has to eliminate him then. That's the only way to make it build, is that Cena eliminates Strowman.
It's possible. Yeah. You're right. You're right.
AA off the top.
Oh, God, shit.
He's a big guy.
Oh, yeah. Woo. If he goes off in one of the pods with the AA. Jesus.
Well, I don't think you can do that. I think you hit the ceiling and then you die.
I don't know. You can't swing. Oh, Strowman's a big ass dude. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you have him scale the ropes and then drop him from there.
So there. Oh, there you have it.
But that still gives us Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns singles match.
I mean, deal with it. That's what
you're getting. We all fucked up now.
Vince McMahon had a boner for this like 2 years ago. Like he had a geriatric hard on for this match 2 years ago, and he found a way to make most people forget how much they hated Roman Reigns, and they've worked him back into the title picture. This was a long, meticulous plan. Like the Shield was to shield Roman Reigns from the booze, the feuds that he's been involved in. Everything has been building up to this moment. You're not getting it. Like, I'm sure a writer was like, "Yo, Braun Strowman should be in this match," and Vince McMahon was like, "You're fired," and got rid of his ass. Because Vince's plan the entire time was for Roman and Brock to face each other one-on-one.
And it's horrible. This is Vince's last hurrah. After this, he's going to go off, ride into a fucking sunset, go to the XFL, do his thing. This is the last time we're giving Vince a ball. Last time.
No, Vince is not going to die. Like if Vince and Donald Trump are going to live forever. Sorry.
Going to outlive us all.
Yep.
It's a damn shame. Well, AJ, thank you for joining us. That we wrapped up our wrestling talk, brings the show to an end. Let the people know where to follow you on social media.
I am at JustAnt1914 on Twitter.
Fancy. JustAnt1914. Follow the Instagram. Look at he's just suave on the Instagram. Make sure you guys peep that. Him and Andreas a little less, but AJ is going to show me how to grow out that luxurious beard. Him and Ryan McKinnell have these beards, and I just can't grow anything. You know, the facial hair gods have not blessed me yet. But we're going to figure it out. There's no patience. Y'all have beards at like 15. I just saw a picture of Dre when he was 16, a full-ass chin strap.
I wasn't 16. I was like 21.
You were 20. No, in the top left of the picture you posted for Valentine's Day.
I was 21 in that picture.
You're what? It looked like you were in the hallways of Green Valley High School.
Nah, man, I was at a Lauryn Hill
High School, some shit. You were at Lauryn Hill concert.
I'll never forget, because that's when me and my wife like first really started kicking it. I was at a Lauryn Hill concert with a goddamn Dragon Hawaiian shirt on. I was 21, son.
Well, you looked like you were about 16.
Yeah.
The hairline was strong, by the way.
Yo, I had curls, man.
Time flies. Yo, AJ, you got to have a picture with hair? Can we get this picture?
Probably. It's probably on the Instagram somewhere. It's been a minute. It's been a few years since I've had hair.
All right, we got to see this. These guys are bringing the hair back for 2018. Dre is a year older, so the old man shit is going to continue. I am going to look into getting the spa treatment and stepping my old man game up. But that is the show for this week. Make sure you guys follow us on social media, at The Corner LSN on all platforms. Me at Kel Dansby, him at Andreas Hale. I'm going to convince him to change that to Old Man Andreas permanently on Twitter. That is my goal for 2018. Thank you guys for showing up for another show. Next week we'll be previewing Elimination Chamber, which is here in Vegas. We have a UFC card again because there's one every damn week. We have boxing. So a lot of stuff to cover on next week's show. Thank you guys for tuning in. Until next time, we're out.
Peace.